joining us right now. I mean, you know, like I said, pretty much depends on the time of the year how we want to introduce him. He's the Raiders radio play-by-play. He also does pre and post on Comcast Bay Area for the Warriors, and he's a jack of all trades in Bay Area sports. It's Greg Papa, man. Greg, it's just Nate and Katie today. Dave's on vacation, so, you know, thanks for making it a third.
No problem. I've been thinking about you guys because it's Warriors and Kings tonight, and we just saw you guys the night before the Super Bowl, and it was a heck of a game. Kevin Durant had his first real poor game as a Warrior, so I am really hopeful for a variety of reasons that the Warriors and Kings play a playoff series. We've never had that. I think it'd be great. It'd be great on the Warriors to just, you know, drive 90 miles. I don't even know if they'd stay in a hotel or if they'd come back between games. It certainly would beat flying all the way to Denver and playing in the altitude for a couple of games. So I am pulling for you guys. I've watched your...
For selfish reasons?
What's that?
For selfish reasons, Greg?
No, is
it a geography thing?
I think it'd be fun to play the series. I think all of Northern California would get into it. The energy in your building when the Warriors went up there the night before the Super Bowl was incredible.
Yeah.
So, and I think, you know, a lot of your fans will come down tonight. It's not like the early 2000s when you had that, you know, Chris Webber and Vladdy and all that group that was so fun to watch. But, yeah, I'm sure your fans will show up tonight, and it'll just be, you know, Bay Area, Northern California, NBA celebration. So, yeah, I mean, for the Warrior perspective, the alternative would be to go to maybe Denver in the first round and then Salt Lake City in the second round, which would not be great on the body, I think, to play in altitude. The Warriors were just in Denver the other night, and they chose not to go hard for the win. They didn't put the starters back into the game and in about 6 minutes to go when they were down nine, when they could have made a push to win the game. So I think that tells you what they feel about altitude. So if you could avoid it, it would be great for the Warriors. But it would be great for everybody to have the Warriors and Kings play a playoff series and play a couple of games in that beautiful new building here.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, you watched that game a week and a half ago, whatever it was. Now, the Kings have the Warriors' number, I'd say.
Yeah, Steph's going to miss a layup, you know, probably 99 times out of 100. I know Tolliver made it a little tough for him, but it was a heck of a game. Cousins is a guy that I've been critical of because I want to see his demeanor when he gets off the bus tonight. I've checked it every time he plays the Warriors in Oakland, and like a lot of it was Andrew Bogut just bothered him. But he does not play well in Oakland. I don't know what it is. He doesn't like long bus rides, or I don't know how he gets there. But you just sort of tell with him by his demeanor before the game how he's always got that scowl on, but a lot of nights he really has the scowl on. But I think they're picking on him a little bit with the technicals, but he's a tremendously skilled player. I'm not going to say he's the best center in the game because there are a lot of really good ones. The guy in Denver, the Joker, Nikola Jokic, has comparable skills. And now there's like 6 to 7 guys that have that kind of size that have stepped out their game to become more of a stretch five. But he obviously has the drop step, the full gamut in the low post. But, he's just – his temperament is difficult to deal with. I think he would really become a much better player if they put a dominant personality in a better player than him on the team and let him play off of him. When he has to drive your team every night, you just can't count on him. But any given night, he's capable of putting up, obviously, you know, 40, 50 points and a triple-double. He's that kind of talent. So he's a fun player to watch, but it's he just hasn't been able to win. He hasn't been able to make the playoffs. So I'd like to see him break through this time. And I think the experience with Team USA in the summertime did help him mature. I knew it would. I wasn't all that into having him represent our country. But he did fine. There was no major incidents, obviously, and he played well. And just being around those great players, I think, has helped him.
Yeah, you know, and there never has been any incidents with him with Team USA. And I think a lot of that can speak to the fact that you can say, okay, well, maybe the incidents with the Kings have been because of the frustrations of the situation of being on a losing team year after year. But I want to go back, Greg, to what you said about you don't know that he's the best center in the NBA, because I find that really interesting, because all of this is opinion based, of course, and it's subjective based on what your qualifications are. But the other night, New Orleans was in town, and I was talking to Alvin Gentry about DeMarcus Cousins, and he said, hey, I think he is without a doubt the best center in this league. And I found that interesting because this is a guy that coaches Anthony Davis, who is a tremendous talent, obviously voted into the All-Star game this year by the fans as a starter. And so I'm sitting here going, why is that? And he said, because DeMarcus Cousins, unlike any other player in this league, has the ability to get your entire team in foul trouble because you have to send so many people at him. And where LeBron James doesn't, it's not the same. You can't send the amount of people at him because he's more of a perimeter player. DeMarcus, as a center, can get your entire team in foul trouble.
Yeah, but he can also get himself in foul trouble and get himself kicked out of the game with his personality. DeMarcus is a wonderfully skilled player. There's nothing he can't do. The Euro step that he's added, I think he shoots the ball long a little too much, but I understand why he does it. It's almost like Larry Bird, where you have to come out and defend the three-point line, and then he has the ability to put it on the deck. But you see, people get so enamored with numbers, like Russell Westbrook and the triple-double. Russell Westbrook is a highly inefficient player. He's not a very good outside shooter. He's become better on the pull-up. He has a high degree of turnovers. I don't care how much the ball's in his hands. He just turns the ball over way too much. DeMarcus Cousins, in the flow of an NBA game, can be dominant. When the game slows down and you have to, and it becomes more of a half-court game, there are many other players I'd much rather have Karl Anthony Towns. I'd much rather have Marc Gasol. And Karl Anthony Towns hasn't been able to translate it into winning. But Marc Gasol has, and Marc Gasol also plays defense. So Cousins has the skill set. If you were scouting everybody and looked at everybody, he'd be up there. As I say, there was a time that his skill set was unique, but it's not. There are a lot of guys that have that kind of size, you know, center play, the guys that are just playing incredibly well. The guy in Denver, Jokic, is just unbelievable. The way he passes the ball is amazing. And as far as what Alvin was saying, I don't know if he wants to call the unibrow a power forward or a center. The unibrow has that same kind of skill set. He doesn't have the low post game. I think that's where he lacks. He has put on a lot of weight. He's put on, I think he came into the NBA at like 2.25. Now he's up to like 250, 260. So, but he's still, because he doesn't have the girth that a DeMarcus Cousins, a Karl Anthony Towns, a Nikola Jokic, Marc Gasol, he just doesn't have, he can get rooted out of the post a little bit. But as far as fouling everybody out, the way I would play DeMarcus Cousins, and I think Luke Walton did it last night, and he wound up going for a big number. I'm not sure I'd double team that guy, because I think his greatest skill is his ability to pass the ball. The way I've seen him pass the ball out of the left block and throw a diagonal pass to the right wing, I've seen him bullet a ball from the left block across the floor and it skip pass to the right baseline. He is a tremendous passer, a willing passer. So I think the way to play him is to play him straight up and don't double him right away and force him to double throw out of a double team, because he's so big and accurate, he'll just carve you up. Now, do they have enough shooters around him is the question. That may be a theory on why you double him, because minus Rudy Gay, guys can go off periodically, but I think you'd rather have a guy take an open jump shot than DeMarcus, but then come and double him later and make him kind of commit to the offensive move and then bring the second defender over and try to get him into an off-balance shot or a charge. But he's a great player, but, I mean, you know, if you want to say he's the best center, he hasn't won. The biggest issue I have with the guy is he hasn't won. If he can get his team into the playoffs and they face the Warriors in the first round, that'll be a great step in his career.
Greg Papa's with us on KHTK. Just a quick shift here, because I think we all feel like the Warriors are the prohibitive favorites in the West, and for good reason. But you look at the Eastern Conference, the Wizards are white hot right now. The Celtics are making a serious push, and Kevin Love just went under the knife for knee surgery. But I still feel like the Cavs are going to be the favorite because they still have LeBron James. So what would have to happen in your mind, Greg, for them to not be the favorites to challenge the Warriors? Is it the Celtics making a move? Is it simply a lack of health for the Cavs? What do you got?
No, I don't think Cleveland's the clear favorite in the East. And I don't see any team in the East that can play with the Warriors at all. Zero chance.
Now, did you feel that last year? I'm sorry, Greg.
Say it again.
Did you feel that last year going in after the 73-9 season?
Yes, I think the Warriors were the dominant team last year. They were up 3-1, and this league took Draymond Green off the floor in a closeout game in game 5.
Oh, Greg. Really?
That's fact. That is true. A fact. Draymond Green was suspended for game 5. They were up 3-1.
Because he keeps kicking people in the junk.
Not close. The Warriors smoked them. Cleveland did come back, and the Warriors ran out of gas. Cleveland is not – they're not the second-best team in the NBA. I don't know what they are. This injury to Love, James is saying he may be out 8 weeks, not 6 weeks. If he's out 8 weeks, that puts you right to the end of the regular season. So there's nobody there in the East. The only team I could see is if Danny Ainge gives up one of those draft picks and maybe Brooklyn's pick to get Jimmy Butler. If he gets Jimmy Butler, that's a different deal. And that's a deal if I'm them, they are the Boston Celtics. They are the 17-time NBA champions. It's still Boston as far as royalty in this league. They're the winningest team in the history of the franchise. And the league, the Lakers are the most popular, but they're the winningest. If they get Butler on top of Avery Bradley, who's I know he's been injured a lot, but he's going to come back. He's a great defender. He defends Steph Curry legally as well as any player in the NBA, along with Smart, and you got the little guy. He's an interesting player, but you can deal with him. He's going to give it up on the other end. But if they get Jimmy Butler along with Bradley and Smart, and you got Olynyk popping threes and Al Horford's complete game, I think Boston could deal with them in the East and get out of there. I don't see Cleveland as a threat. I just don't think they're nearly good enough. The one team, it's more just Pop and his system is San Antonio. If we get into a series with him, he's going to win a game by himself, just by his acumen and his brilliance. But Aldridge is not the player they thought he was. Kawhi Leonard is a tremendous player. I don't think they have enough to beat the Warriors in a series, but San Antonio would be the team that you'd have to have some level of concern against because of Popovich. But in the East, I don't see anybody except if Boston makes a big deal and gets someone like Jimmy Butler, and Butler would be the guy that would scare me. I still think the Warriors are better than them, but they could give the Warriors a series if they give up a pick to get Butler.
Greg, I got a Greg Papa joining us on the line. We're just talking Warriors and Kings game tonight. I got to ask you a question. I got to go back to something that you said, and I'm going to concede this. Obviously, we're on two different sides of this conversation in terms of obviously we tend to, you know, kind of favor the Kings in certain conversations, and of course you the Warriors. But you talking about the league taking Draymond Green off the floor in that final series, are you saying that you don't agree with that call?
Absolutely not. It was the most ridiculous thing. I mean, what league? What sports?
Seriously,
league,
Greg, how many times does someone have to jump punch someone? What natural act is it to continue to hit people in the crotch?
He does it inadvertently. You know,
Greg.
He does not do it intentionally. I can show you many. The other night, I forget what game it was. He landed awkwardly on his ankle and rolled his ankle right before halftime. And then I think it was your game, maybe, in Sacramento. I think it was the overtime game. He got scissored up in the air, and he landed hard on his tailbone. It may have been the game the night before Super Bowl. He threw his right leg up in the air and kicked in the air. It's just a natural reaction for him to try to stabilize his body. I could show you pictures. In the 60s and 70s, guys used to rebound the ball like that all the time. I could show you. Ever see a picture of Bill Russell when he cleared a rebound? He would kick both legs out to clear the rebound. It was just an instinctive reflex behavior. Draymond Green, I was there in Oklahoma City when he kicked Adams in the nuts the first time, and I thought nothing of it. He was driving in the lane, and he just – it's not like Reggie Miller kicking out his legs. So – I understand. The NBA cannot legislate intent. So the end result is he kicked the guy twice in the nuts. But what James did to him was a flat-out bait. I saw it. In fact, at the end of the game, it was over. Cleveland was getting routed. I walked down before I went on the air for the postgame show, and I sat right on the floor, and I saw what James was doing. He was intentionally trying to bait Draymond into an altercation to get him suspended because he knew one more flagrant. And he was out. And my initial reaction was, wow, Draymond's being cool here. He's not taking the cheese. And there was a moment after he stepped over his head that he tried to get Draymond to swing at him. He kept going at him and tried to agitate him. I thought Draymond got away with it, and it was no big deal. It was just one little left-hand flinch in the air, and the league overreacted. I mean, if you want to get into a sports league where we're taking the best players off the floor, you can laugh all you want. What kind of
I think it's interesting.
The players off the floor, and what else did he do at the end of a loss in Portland or Houston, wherever it was, when he threw Beasley down? He was trying to he made a bad decision on a foul, trying to elongate the game. His strategy didn't work at that point, but that was just more of a strategy deal. So, no, I think it was just ridiculous.
I think to take Draymond
off the floor. And if he plays game five, they win that series. If you win in five and it's over, you lost.
Oh, I agree with you on that.
So what I'm saying to you is the Cleveland Cavaliers are not a better basketball team than the Golden State Warriors. They were not last year. They are not this year. And they will not beat the Warriors. They did not, in my opinion, beat the Warriors last year. The league took it from them.
I agree with you in one sense, is that, yes, Draymond Green gets baited into things, but it's the same thing for DeMarcus Cousins. They get baited into it, and if they're going to take the bait, then it is their fault. Yeah, of course, he's on the Warriors. Like, I understand what you're saying. But, you know, I played a little bit of basketball, and I was never the caliber of player that Draymond Green was, but I was a highly erratic player. And I can say right now that I have never seen anything like it. And clearing your legs on a rebound and kind of kicking out, I also don't think that's something that comes naturally. I think that's something that you develop as kind of a technique to protect yourself. But I don't know, Greg. We'll agree to disagree, but to me, there's nothing natural. It doesn't mean that it's natural.
He does it all the time, and a lot of other players in this league. I could show you a game just about every night Draymond does that. And whether he hits somebody in the face like he hit James Harden, or hits someone in the nuts like he did Steven Adams, sometimes he kicks and hits nothing. It's just an instinctive thing. I think it's hard to coach it out of him. But if we're going to legislate in this league based on that and kick a guy out in a closeout game at home when you're playing for the championship, I don't think that's what any sports league should be involved in. They should stay the hell out of it.
Hey, Katie, are you good?
Right, is that all we're going to talk
go
about?
Ahead.
The game that happened on June last year?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
The bottom line is the Cavaliers are not a better team. When the Warriors go the way they go, the Cavaliers cannot beat them.
This is a thing of beauty. Greg Papa with us on KHTK. I'll shift for you real quick here. probably the last thing we'll have time for, actually. Back to 2012, when the Warriors traded Monte Ellis, the fans went absolutely nuts. Joe Lacob was not a popular guy. And so I'm thinking, as I look at the James Dolan and Charles Oakley situation, a lot of unrest there. And I'm trying to relate it. Like, what would the equivalent be of the Warriors if in 2012, sitting courtside, who would be the former Warrior that would have been heckling Joe Lacob relentlessly?
I don't know. Oakley's got his own deal. He should let it go now. I love Charles Oakley as a player. He was as tough as I've ever seen. I mean, so maybe Sprewell, if Sprewell came back, you know, after the PJ thing. But, you know, Sprewell, and I love Gary St. Jean, he and I are buddies, but they tried to take $68 million away from Sprewell for that. I think I would have fought him to the end for that, too. So, the whole thing with the Knicks is unfortunate. Oakley was a hell of a player, but he has been ripping the owner. It would be the Raiders. It's similar to me to what Rich Gannon did. And I think he went on this very radio station in Sacramento when he said the Raiders would never win until Al died. And that didn't go over well with Al.
No.
And Rich was barred from coming into the building when he worked games for CBS. Al would not let him in. Rich called me a couple times and said, can you go to the old man and try to get him? I said, Rich, you said they're never going to win until he dies. How do you want to apologize for that? It's pretty much, it's more akin to what Rich Gannon went through at the end of Al Davis's life.
That's a good point, Greg Papa. I mean, you know his voice from everywhere. He's Raiders play-by-play. He's pre and post for the Warriors, and he's, you know, going to let Katie know what's up, too, because Katie just won't give it up, Greg.
Let me just say one thing. If Draymond plays game five last year, do the Warriors win that game?
Greg, I said this. I have said this multiple times and I said it at the time. I said they could win and lose this series because of this suspension right now.
Well,
that changed the entire thing.
Well,
however, my point is, I agreed with the suspension. He got himself in that situation the same way as I agree with when DeMarcus Cousins gets suspended for a game for racking up technicals. It's the rules of
go
the
back,
game.
Go back and watch each of the three flagrants.
Oh, I wrote a whole article on it, and I watched them all, and I agree with it.
Send him your blog, Katie. That'd be great.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's not – watching the film again isn't going to change my decision.
You intentionally kicked Steven Adams in the nuts. That was on purpose. Is that what you –
That's exactly what I'm saying. Not that I'm saying, like, hey, he – not that – it was like, oh, there was a target on it, but he was kicking.
The 40 times this year he's kicked that foot out and hit nothing. He does it. There's been a couple times he's hit guys, and the officials have missed it. Along the baseline, I've seen him do it many. It's just it's the way he plays. Now, if you're gonna, you know, again, you can't legislate intent. So every time he does that, if you want to lay a technical or a flagrant on him, that's your own rule book. But
yeah, well, then you can also argue that
he's doing it for balance.
You can also argue that, well, that's not being on balance. That's the opposite. But you can also argue that DeMarcus Cousins, hey, that's just the way he plays. So why do you
got balance?
But you can argue, like, this is for all these players that are getting technicals for different things. But, yeah, okay, we have to break. Sorry, we've gone a little too long. But, Greg, I love going back and forth with you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Right. Take care. Thanks a lot, Katie. Greg's never going to come on again.
Hey, man, Nate, can you say right now that there wasn't some complete bull crap in that interview? There's homerism, and normally Dave takes up all that homerism, but there was some serious homerism today, right?
I like how quickly, because he's always very, like, objective when we talk about the Raiders,
yeah.
But it's funny because the Warriors are such an established kind of brand now over the last couple of years. I think it's hilarious. He just turns into any other radio homer.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. You had to fight him on it. I'm letting the dude tell his story, Katie.
Oh, man, I was not expecting that to happen, but hey, it was fun.
Kurt Heelan of Pro Basketball Talk. You can argue with him, too. He's coming up about 5 minutes from now. We're going to talk a little more basketball. We'll make our way around the league with that when we return on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.